Well, no, that wasn't actually Tom Cruise, the actor, that you just saw in that short video. Thanks to something called deep fake technology, that was merely a lookalike actor. This man has been filmed using very clever algorithms that draw from all of Tom Cruise's major movies, every kind of muscle movement and intonation and inflection and, if you like, expression of his face and voice so that it's then applied to the face digitally of the lookalike actor. And to all intents and purposes, we look at it and think, that's the Mission Impossible superstar right there and then. You know, we're pretty familiar today with the technology we have around us, aren't we, with the power to manipulate our audience around us to think that we are something that we are really not. Instagram influencers, for instance, have made the practice of bearing no resemblance whatsoever to their real life at home when posting pictures of themselves to the general public. They've made it a commercially successful art form indeed. Today we're once again studying the letter of James in the New Testament. And in James 19 to 27, the writer picks up the second of his major themes that cycles through this letter, that of God's wisdom being applied to daily living. And here's how we view ourselves each day and how we treat others in daily life as a result. That's the simple message that's here in verses 19 to 27 of James chapter 1, our passage of study for this sermon. You know, when the Apostle James wrote to Christians long ago, the technology for constructing a deepfake, a more impressive image of oneself in public life, was a little more old school than today's Insta influencers have at hand. In our text from chapter 1, please excuse the reference being wrong, we're looking at verse 23 and 24. He says, with the central illustration he uses in today's passage of looking into a mirror, he says, those who do so, who look at themselves in a mirror and on going away immediately forget what they look like, James wants to tell us, well, that's absurd. Why would you live like this? Why would you have these two personas, one that's really you and one that you imagine or construct about yourself, immediately you leave the bathroom mirror behind? You know, when Penny and I travelled some years ago to the ancient ruins of the biblical city of Corinth in Greece, we were able to visit the Corinthian Museum. It's not very large, not very impressive on the outside, but the artifacts and treasures that it houses are absolutely astounding. And amongst the many artifacts, some examples of personal mirrors used in the ancient world, some as old as 350 BC, were on display. Here's an example on screen, and I guess you might say, it doesn't look too impressive to use as a personal mirror right now in its current condition. But this bronze disc, engraved beautifully, no bigger than the palm of my hand, once polished, was in fact a very helpful personal mirror in ancient times. It was adequate in giving me, if I was one of those citizens that James was writing to in those early times in the Roman Empire, an adequate enough view of my skin, my teeth, my hair, before stepping out in my sandals into the marketplace that very day. Even a dull glimpse of my face, says James, should connect me with who I really am as a Christian. That's the point of his illustration of the mirror. It should not result in me immediately, as I leave the mirror, acting as if I'm something or someone that I am not. that would be absurd, he says. Some of you might remember the funhouse mirrors that are in Luna Park when I was a child, and perhaps you've come across them in various carnivals in the past. Great fun. During lockdown, you know, I did get back into The Simpsons a little bit as something to do. And this picture is a good one of a distorting mirror. And James is aware that his first leaders in Palestine and Syria, they were, I guess, having a distorted view of themselves in public life. One that puffed them up, one that made them continue to have a kind of self-constructed image inconsistent with the real self in the private life. Well, the Holy Scriptures, the Word of God, says James, is like a straight mirror that gives us a true image of our real self as those who are now in Christ, as the Scriptures often put it for Christians. Have a look with me back in James 1, verses 22 to 24. He says, be doers of the word, and here he's intending to mean the word of God, the scriptures, the Bible, and not merely hearers who deceive themselves. For if any hearers of the word, if any are hearers of the word and not doers, they are like those who look at themselves in a mirror, for they look at themselves and on going away immediately forget what they are like. Now we connect the subject of his teaching with that central illustration of looking in the mirror with these verses put together. Now we've learned in the sermon series that most of the original audience that were reading or hearing the letter of James in the first century were Jewish people who've recently become Christians. They were now living amidst trials and persecution for having done so, for their new association with Jesus and with his church in those troublesome days. It seems that many of these new Christians were reverting to or still living according to the ways of their previous religion, those lives that were lived under what Jesus referred to as the burdensome system of first century Judaism. You know, if you look at the Gospels, there's often occasions where Jesus harshly criticized the religious leaders of those times. He pointed out that they constructed a religion designed to burden a person with having to prove their rightness before God and their rightness before others by their own daily constructed godly persona, or religious persona, or status. And they were kind of being led to do it from the outside in. Now, Jesus pointed out in Matthew 15:8, quoting the prophet Isaiah, as he did, that those leaders honoured him with their lips, he said, but their hearts are far from them. It seems that practice of doing godly things outwardly by appearance don't necessarily create the inward transformation of heart that God is looking for. In fact, Jesus goes further and says, it can never do so. You know, on top of the 613 commandments in the law of Moses in the Old Testament, the scribes and Pharisees of these early church times added thousands of so-called fence laws and dust laws to the people's daily burden of religious requirements, right from rising in the morning to sitting their head on the pillow at night. Those external rules and regulations of daily living, they surpass anything that you've been asked to do during our current pandemic here in Australia, let me tell you now. And the masks that these people were required to wear through this outward trappings of religiosity and ceremony, these things were far more burdensome, and the people were unrecognizable in private life to what persona
they were required to put on in public life. James did not want this to continue for people who become Christians.
Look at verse 26 of chapter 1 of James if you have your Bible open, and just carry into what we're looking at on screen now. In verse 26, James is scathing towards those who are returning to those dead outward trappings of religious ceremony on the outside, to the displaced religious person. He writes, if any think they are religious, but do not bridle their tongues, they deceive their hearts, and their religion, he says, is actually worthless. Tough words. And for people who live their lives in that system of Judaism, now embracing Jesus as the Messiah, the Christ, and living with other Christians in community, there must have been very big new ways of thinking that had to take place in the heart and the brain. Instead of that old outward trappings of ceremony and the burdensome legal system that came with it, note how James looks into the straight mirror of the sweet good news of the gospel of Jesus, and he asks his audience to do so. It's in great contrast to that previous outward construct of a person in that previous religion that James now says in verse 25, but those who look into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and persevere, being not hearers who forget, but doers who act, they will be blessed in their doing, James says. Now, isn't it interesting that James calls the gospel of Jesus here the law of liberty? His readers who've now embraced the gospel, Jesus as Messiah, the true description of God and of themselves is now available to them through the person of Jesus, his message, his life, his death and resurrection, and the gift of his Spirit. Jesus is the one, the scriptures tell us, who came to set the captives free and to release people from their bondage to sin and death. Jesus brings freedom to daily life, freedom to be loved by God as you truly are, and freedom to live for God's purposes by grace day by day, and freedom to lay aside those rules and regulations and hoops that once were the way people were told they could get right with God and be the right people in society. Be free of that, James. Because the gospel of Jesus frees you. Jesus himself said he had come not to abolish the law, pointing back to the Old Testament scriptures, but to fulfill its intentions for us and for the whole world. Jesus fulfills God's word spoken through the prophet Jeremiah long ago, through whom God said, I will put my law within them, I will write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. You see, for James, looking into the good news of Jesus each morning shows us who we truly are now that we are in Christ, as the New Testament puts it. We look at ourselves in the mirror in the morning. James would want us to think, we are forgiven our sins. Nothing more has to be done for that to be true. Jesus' costly righteous sacrifice upon the cross is sufficient for you to be at peace with God, to live as a friend of God. No need to jump through hoops, through rules and regulations for that anymore. No need to put on some kind of deep fake religiosity day to day. No need to claim some ethnicity or status or education or some other qualifier, only that Jesus died for you. Look in the mirror and affirm that, he says. Secondly, we want you to look in the mirror and go, You are empowered with a new heart and a new spirit by Jesus Christ. The Spirit of God within you, his gift to you, is at work transforming you from the inside out, if you will but allow God to do so. So when we walk out the door each day, having looked into that straight mirror of what the Scriptures say about you and the Gospel of Jesus, the perfect law, the law of liberty, it should lead you to think and to speak and to act more and more in ways that befit the new heart that is promised to be within you by God's grace. To be seen to be becoming more and more like Jesus in the fashion of his humility of character, in the fashion of his love for others, even for strangers, even for enemies. In the Gospels, as I mentioned, Jesus castigated religious leaders for wanting to create these deep fakes of religion with outward trappings and ceremony and rules and regulations for life being the main game. But note how James is teaching, but not castigating here. Because these are not the leaders, these are ordinary new Christians that he's writing to. He urges, strives, teaches to let the results of what God is doing in their heart to become consistently apparent in their daily living in the marketplace, in their relationships, in both character and action. There's humility of character that the Spirit is developing in us as we trust and follow Jesus. There's usefulness of purpose to God in the world that Christians get to bring by acting in a servant-like manner in the fashion of Jesus by God's grace. If only, James would say, if only you would truly see who you are looking into the straight mirror of Scripture. And as you walk away, live in the power of God as that same person you looked at, one redeemed, loved, set free to serve God. James lists some key outcomes that he would want to have seen in those early church communities. Quick to listen, he says, and here the idea is active listening, particularly to the Word of God. Be slow to speak. And here the command seems difficult to extrovert people like myself. The idea here, Jesus talked about what comes from the mouth is sourced from the condition of the heart. So to pause before speaking fulfills that old adage, we have two ears and one mouth. It's just very sensible humility in conversational relationship. But more than that, we might pause to see from what source, from what condition of heart are the choices of words we might make from day to day, from minute to minute. And this is something I think that's learned in maturity of practice and leaning on the Holy Spirit and creating those habits of pausing, speaking wisely with the help of the grace of God. Part of this character that we might see in the mirror of Scripture becoming real in daily life. And this will indeed represent God in community very well. He says, slow to anger. Remember earlier in the chapter that we've been studying, he pointed to anger that was being stressed even to God because of the suffering that was taking place. And early in our passage, he talks about anger that leads to the harm of others, not representing God at all. So dial it back. Find the patience that the Spirit gives, even in times of trial. See it taught to you in the mirror of Scripture. Call upon the Spirit to help change your speed at which you become angry. Be angry and do not sin, the Bible says. The idea that anger will arise, it's what we do with it that God can help us to transform. And be ready, instead of being angry, to do what is right in the eyes of God, the scripture tells us. And then he adds action to the issues of character. Being rid of all sordidness and wickedness is actually, sordidness there is from a Greek word that speaks about being dirty on the outside. And with all of the previous rules and regulations of Judaism about purity, religious purity, now James just wants to simplify this here and say, get rid of the self-centeredness that harms others, that doesn't actually present the character of God. And do it with the help of the Holy Spirit. And lastly, real transformation of heart will be expressed in care for the most fragile and needy of the community. You'll see that last in verse 27. So very practical outcomes, but not put on as a deep fake religious appearance, rather something James believes can be born from the inside, from a transformed heart, from the power of the Spirit guided by the law of liberty, the gospel of Jesus. So here it is, the thing and the speed. And I think I'll leave this particular last slide for you to reflect on these practical outcomes that will come from looking in the straightener of Scripture. And as you walk away, not suggesting what you look like in the light of the gospel of Jesus, asking the Holy Spirit to help develop in you practices of character and loving service that truly represent our loving God. Amen.